Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Crossover Daily, SI's daily NBA podcast. Today on the show, we'll be discussing the Lakers' Game 2 win over the Nuggets, with LA taking a 2-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals thanks to a buzzer-beating three from Anthony Davis. Does Mason Plumlee need to turn off his mentions? Are the Lakers even being challenged? And where does Nikola Jokic fit in among current NBA stars? Joining me will be the GOAT podcast, Andrew Sharp. Let's start the show. Joining me now on Crossover Daily is a former staff writer for Grantland. His work has also appeared in SB Nation and Deadspin. And once upon a time, he wrote for this humble magazine we call Sports Illustrated. He's currently the co-host of GOAT, the greatest of all talk, which is, as someone who hosts a basketball podcast, I can comfortably say the best basketball podcast in the world. Please welcome to Crossover Daily, my good friend, Andrew Sharp. Sharp, how's it going, buddy?
Wow. First of all, it's great to be on a podcast with you. Second of all, I'm going to try to be serious throughout this episode. I am currently blown away by the NPR voice that you've adopted for this podcast. You sound like a real grown-up. Generally, when we're talking, you're cursing me out and accusing me of having horrible takes. But here you are keeping it professional. What a night.
You don't like, I thought it was like a nice soothing, like, oh, this is hip. Like I can snap my fingers to this hip podcast kind of vibe is what I was going for.
I mean, it's absolutely soothing. Okay. Whatever you were going for is working. I'm really impressed. I was like kind of keyed up coming out of that Nuggets Lakers ending, but now I'm just like ready to sort of kick back.
I lulled you into a false sense of security. So when I attack you later, all right, well, let's start here at the end of the game. Anthony Davis hitting the game-winning three. I feel like we just have to each give our own personal opinions on what we think Mason Plumlee was thinking at the end of that game. Anthony Davis, I want to say he crawled around a screen, except there was no screen set for him. He just ran to the left wing. Mason Plumlee, for some reason, decided he was going to run to LeBron James and point at Jeremy Grant to pick up Anthony Davis. Just a utter confusion from the Nuggets there, particularly Plumlee at the end of that game. Are you as angry as I am? Because I think the Nuggets could have stolen this one, and it feels like Plumlee, rightfully or wrongfully, is kind of the GOAT of this one, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, Plumlee is going to have a rough 36 hours online. He might have to go the Paul George route.
Pause those Instagram comments.
Seems like a prudent move if you're Mason Plumlee right now. It's Mason Plumlee, right?
It is Mason. I hope so.
I consistently confuse the three Plumlee.
Of course, brothers. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, the AD shot was like objectively cool, but I think to people who care about the NBA and want this series to get interesting, that was a really frustrating ending. I would have had a lot more fun spending the next 2 days reliving like the final 6 minutes of the fourth quarter right. that Jokic had, where he's just kind of like waddling into these backbreaking shots. I mean, like, I don't really know how he comes up with some of this stuff, but he was on another level over the final couple minutes of that game, and the Nuggets needed every single bucket he gave them, and it was really cool to watch him come through. And so the Lakers, it's kind of like the Stormtroopers winning at the end there. I mean, it's hard to really get that fired up about AD coming through. But look, like, he's been unbelievable for the vast majority of these playoffs, and now he's going to continue to do it. I mean, the Nuggets, they feel like such underdogs that I don't know how much credit to give the Lakers to. I mean, and I guess that's a question that's going to be answered in the finals. But LA has so many different advantages in this series that I wonder, watching these games, whether they're going to be like a little bit overrated coming out of this Nuggets series.
It's so hard to get a grasp on how good the Lakers are. Listen, we know Anthony Davis is incredible. We've known he's incredible for a long time. When he was basically carrying the Pelicans, we all remember the season Boogie went down. AD carried that team into the second round, playing center. We know how good he can be, frankly, when he decides to play the position he is the best at. But that's really the question I want to try to at least take a stab at tonight is, Can we get a sense of how good the Lakers are? I know we go into every series being like, this could be interesting, and then they pummel their opponent, and so that almost makes us wonder if they're overrated. Like, there's no way for them to win in our eyes, but it feels like they've been on a playoff path that's uniquely designed not to challenge them where they're vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good way to put it. And you're right that if I were a Lakers fan, I would listen to you and I talking about this and be like, what the hell are these guys talking about? Like, get out of here. I'm unsubscribing to this podcast. So don't do that, because look, the Lakers have, honestly, it's not even just the past couple of weeks. They've also been excellent all year long. They play really hard. They play together. And they take care of business, and they do deserve a lot of credit for not only having advantages, but like not screwing around when it's time to capitalize on those advantages. That's definitely a stark difference from the Clippers. And I think that they are probably properly rated. They're the favorite at this point. They're not overwhelming favorites. And I think that either the Celtics or the Heat coming out of the East are going to be able to give them more of a challenge than people probably expect. I will say, look, you've spent a lot of time watching the Nuggets over the last couple of years.
I have watched
them more than I have. It's really hard, man, because Jokic is so good.
He's a superstar. His Q rating during these playoffs, people are seeing what that dude's really about. I mean, he steps up. He steps up, but go ahead.
It's a big deal what Jokic is doing.
I
have no doubt that he's a top 10 player, and I'm willing to buy all the Jokic stock that anyone is selling. I'm in, but through the first couple quarters tonight, he did look just sort of like a little bit neutralized by the Lakers' defense. And so to see him respond the way he did down the stretch was really, really cool. And Murray has been at a all-star level for 3 or 4 weeks now, and he was great tonight as well. Beyond that, though, it's just really frustrating. I'm rooting for the Nuggets, not necessarily even to win this series and go to the finals, but I'm rooting for them to make this like a 6 or 7 game series. And their offense is so good. Like, the passing is so good. They find open guys, but there are so many possessions where it goes to Jeremy Grant or Gary Harris or Paul Millsap and guys who are basically like 30% shooters from outside.
I understand your frustrations as the founding member of Nuggets Hive, as someone who is sharing the teachings of Nuggets culture to people like you who don't fully get it yet. I understand why. Here's the thing. Those guys you mentioned, and I know it's different. Jeremy Grant, Paul Millsap, Gary Harris, Millsap and Grant, both great shooters during the regular season. Now, granted, they're not your classic kick out, catch and shoot 3-point guys. They need a lot of time to get their shots off. That's fine. But in general, like above average 3-point shooters, Gary Harris, he's had a weird career. I mean, a lot of injuries that I think have taken away from his effectiveness. But when he's on, he's a good 3-point shooter. Yeah. And what's frustrating about this game for me in particular is the Lakers are getting incredible 3-point shooting from guys who can't shoot. You know, like Rondo hits a step back three in the fourth quarter. What are you supposed to do about that if you're Denver? AD hits a step back three, you know, before the game winner with someone draped all over him. Yeah. What if you're supposed to do that if you're Denver? KCP hit that three in the corner at the end of the shot clock with, you know,
KCP.
Someone in his jersey.
That's where I lost it. When he hit yeah. falling out of bounds, I'm like, well, it sucks right. to be on the Nuggets side.
It really does. So I don't want to kill the Nuggets shooters because, you know, sometimes that's the nature of the playoffs. Your shooters miss and their non-shooters make it. I mean, Caruso was wide open at the end of that game with a three from the top of the crease, and that was actually good defense because Caruso's, I think, a 31% shooter. I mean, maybe not that bad, but he's not great. He's not yep. knocked down, so... It's tough. I don't want to kill the Nuggets because I if anything, I thought that they were skittish tonight and those guys were passing up looks. I think that their struggles got in their head and, you know, they were passing up looks that they needed to be confident in shooting.
Yes, I agree with that. And look, we should also make some room to celebrate PJ Dozier because he came in and was awesome and really right. did.
Simultaneously awesome and frustrating when he started missing free throws, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, the missed free throws were a little rough, but he was attacking, and that's exactly what the Nuggets needed, and yes. he really did sort of change the flow of the game. And I don't mean to knock some of the other role players that Denver mm-hmm. has, because they've all had their moments, and they are good regular season shooters, but it's interesting the way the playoffs unfold. Like, all these possessions matter a lot more.
Yeah.
And I don't want Jeremy Grant taking however many threes he took tonight, or Paul Millsap, who's just like amazingly washed at this point in his career. I mean, he has been a great player for a long time, but he's just not that guy anymore. And so it is a little frustrating because you can see the outlines of a team that is really balanced, has two great stars to build around, and can be a lot of fun as a foil to whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers or whoever, but they're going to need role players to be more consistent than Denver's guys have been over the last two games.
There's no doubt. And someone who I don't think we've said his name once so far this entire conversation is LeBron James. 20 mm-hmm. points in the first half, only 6 in the second. We don't need to get into the whole thing. AD saved him tonight. I think we should just mention that. LeBron was not really good down the stretch. This is not me saying I don't think LeBron is clutch. I think he's the best player ever. But AD saved him tonight, and I just feel like we need to mention that. Like, I was very curious how AD was going to go perform throughout these playoffs, especially someone who is making sure people understand Dwayne Wade is still the best teammate LeBron has ever had. AD has looked incredible throughout this entire run, and he deserved a moment like the one he got tonight.
Yeah. And AD, if he keeps this going, because honestly, one of the things that's tricky with AD is even when he has advantages, he tends to float out to the mid-range and now sometimes mm-hmm. at the three-point line and settle for a lot of really tough contested looks. Now, granted, AD is 7 feet tall and has like a 15-foot wingspan. And so
There's no one in the conference who can guard him.
Right. There's no one on the planet who can guard yeah. him. Like, he's in the Kevin Durant category where I don't know how anyone contests his jumper. So he's going to get clean looks, but he's also not Kevin Durant as a shooter. So it's like, I think if you're looking at the Lakers, though, their one question mark, their one kind of Achilles heel as a team is half-court offense mm-hmm, in close mm-hmm. games against good teams. Like, they don't have easy answers. LeBron, as great as he is at this point in his career, is not the guy who's going to be able to, like, just generate offense possession after possession in the half court. Like, we saw it tonight where he kicks out. I think he kicked to Danny Green, who then kicked to Caruso, and then Caruso bricked that three that you mentioned. I mean, if you're the Lakers, like, do you really want to live and die with a Caruso jumper in crunch time? Absolutely not. But that's sort of like the way they have to play sometimes, because LeBron is more of a drive and kick guy at the end of games. Or at least he has been. I mean, like, I'm open to LeBron being amazing over the next 2 weeks. I'll probably sound like an idiot. But all of that is a long way of saying AD hitting all those tough jumpers, like, that's the cheat code for the Lakers. Like, if he's going to continue hitting these shots, they're going to win the title. And it probably won't be close in this series or the next, because that solves everything for them.
Exactly. Because when we talk about the Lakers' vulnerabilities, like, the Lakers are obviously very good. We're not saying they're this beatable team. They have two of the best, probably five guys on the planet. They have the two best players left in the playoffs. Like, that's not up for discussion, in my opinion, at least. And that's someone who really, really loves Jokic. What I'm saying is that I think we agree on, I think we agree, first of all, the Lakers are winning this series. Secondly, we agree that, again, the way to attack them is to, you know, make their offense work in the half court, pack the paint, make their shooters pay. And it just feels like Denver, whether it's the Lakers hitting some garbage threes or Anthony Davis doing these things, like, the Denver hasn't been able to make them pay for that. And I think you bring up a great point. Davis, really, even more so than LeBron, is kind of that hinge piece almost, because if he's dominating in the half court, there's no answer for someone like that.
Yeah. And it will be interesting to see whether he can keep it going, because if I were a defense, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? If you're comfortable taking contested 19 and 20 foot jumpers all night, then, like, we'll take that versus you around the rim. And so he's going to have to continue proving it. And we also just haven't seen Anthony Davis in any of these spots before. And that's part of what's interesting. It's like,
well, beyond that, now that he's in the playoffs, even then it hasn't felt like he's played a pressure game yet. You know what I mean? He hasn't played a game six that felt that it had any level of intensity to it.
Yeah.
Even he's, I'm not trying to suggest he's been coasting, but even now it felt like he hasn't been tested by a playoff situation. He's been tested by opponents, but not, you know, the pressure and the questions and the doubt that can creep in.
Oh, yeah.
In a tough situation.
Yeah. Well, and here again, Lakers fans are just going to hit that unsubscribe button. Because if I were a Lakers fan, I'd be like, well, what do you want us to do? We're playing
people
in front of us. AD's dominating. I don't know what his numbers are for the playoffs, but they've got to be like 35 and 10 or something like that. He's been great. It does make me wish we got to see, I'm of two minds. On the one hand, I loved the Nuggets comeback against the Clippers.
Of course, of course.
On the other hand, I don't know how any basketball fan can watch these first two games and not in the back of their mind being like, man, it would have been nice if the Clippers won. Like, if it was Clippers,
yes,
I would have planned my entire weekend around this game.
This whole playoffs has been a team's catching bad matchups, like, at the bad time, and it's just been a weird playoffs. You know, in the East, for example, I think Milwaukee could have beaten Boston, but I think Boston is better than Miami. But you know what I mean? But Miami beat Milwaukee. It's just the matchups of this whole playoffs are really weird. We have a little bit of time left. There are two more quick things I want to hit. Like, just give me your real quick, where's Jokic's, you know, profile in the league gone because of his playoff run?
I think he's, like, right on the outside of the top five guys in the league. I think top five, you say, like, LeBron, KD, Steph, Kawhi, and Giannis, and then Jokic is right on the edge there. Mm-hmm. And maybe people would want to put him over Giannis after the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, he's really, really good, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Nuggets build around him, because obviously, like, you have to get a little creative to cover for some of his blind spots. But definitely coming out of these games, like, I'm so excited to watch the next 10 years of that guy. Like,
of course,
the game winner tonight, where he's just like,
yeah,
kind of calmly shuffling into the lane.
One on one at the end of the game, him in the post, he's going to score. He's just going to score. He's got his tricks.
So he is going to score. And again, you watch more Nuggets than me, so you're more experienced. But like, I find myself absolutely flabbergasted every time he hits one of those shots.
That's part of the beauty.
It's so good. And I hope it never changes. I hope that I am this shocked by Nikola Jokic for like the next 15 years because he's just the best.
So lastly, I know that you've basically encouraged Lakers fans to unsubscribe this entire podcast. Mm. Oh, I want to get into a Lakers question real quick, but let us be clear. Sharp and I both think the Lakers are the overwhelming favorites going forward. Like, LeBron and AD have been playing incredibly well throughout these entire playoffs. AD particularly, like, they're very good for a reason. Like, credit to Frank Vogel getting the buy-in on defense from day one. And I immensely, immensely respect the fact, you know, I was in L.A., obviously until the season's shut down, how much attention they gave the regular season, the fact that they tried every night, gave it their best every night, like just a ton of respect for how they've approached the season. I wrote on Media Day, for crying out loud, that they just made a lot more sense this year. But here's my question for you. Do you think they're fun? Do you think they're interesting? Because I feel like this is weirdly one of the least compelling and entertaining teams LeBron James has ever been on.
Yeah. I mean, full disclosure, we argued about this in text message conversation before coming on the podcast.
That's how the sausage is made, people.
There you go. I think it's a complicated, I have a complicated answer here. I don't think that they're fun. I think that, like, if you removed all the context that they bring to the table for fans, then you might reach a different conclusion on that question because, I mean, they have played really hard. They are kind of a gritty team that fights every night and they guard people and get in people's jerseys and get out in transition. I just think that it's hard to enjoy because of everything we know about, like, LeBron and AD
Rondo and Marquise.
That's the thing. Even the role players, the like underdog feel good story role players. Like, I mean, like J.R. Smith beat the crap out of someone on camera a couple months ago, and like Rondo has a whole sordid history. I like a lot of these guys individually, and I think AD's been great and LeBron has been incredible all year long and had a better MVP case than people acknowledged. But I guess this is all a meandering answer to say that I think in a different world, they would be seen as like a gritty blue collar team with two great superstars at the top of the roster. But you're not going to convince anybody that like the Lakers are some feel good blue collar team. And like AD basically lit the Pelicans on fire before showing up here. So it's like hard to root for him finally coming through.
Well, in that different world, the Lakers may be more fun. In this one, they are up 2-0 on the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals after another huge game from Anthony Davis. Andrew Sharp, thank you so much for joining our soothing, low-key, relaxed, you know, catch some waves at the beach podcast.
I love it. NPR with Ro. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm sure we'll have to link up during the finals at some point.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.